Avraham Avinu is the paradigm of Chesed, the pillar of Chesed, and he embedded in us that midah. It's one of the midos of Klal Yisrael. Gomlei Chasodim. We are Rachmonim, Baishonim, and Gomlei Chasodim. And the Torah chose to represent and show us the midah of Chesed of Avraham Avinu through the incident with the Malachim of Hachnosas Orchim. Avraham Avinu throughout his lifetime did a lot of Chesed. He wouldn't have been the pillar of Chesed and the paradigm of Chesed otherwise. So why did the Torah choose specifically this incident of Hachnosas Orchim? Basically, there's a famous Michtav Meliyahu in Kuntres HaChesed who basically makes the point that there are two kinds of people in this world. There are givers and there are takers. You're familiar with that, Michtav Meliyahu?
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to try to make it more understandable because there's a lot of questions on that premise. And therefore, a person should always try to be a giver and not a taker. The idea being pretty much that we have to emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the ultimate giver because he doesn't need to take anything. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, everything about him is giving. In fact, the entire creation is a product, is a result of the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Olam Chesed Yibaneh. And what is the idea of being a giver and not a taker? The idea is that a person can not think about himself and think totally about others and make room for others in where his place is. That is exactly what Hachnosas Orchim is. Hachnosas Orchim is taking your place and opening it to somebody else. Being mevatel yourself for the sake of someone else. And that's exactly what God did when he created the world. Because kibiyachol, the Ribbono Shel Olam is everywhere. So he had to pull himself back and leave a place for others to be in his place. And that is basically the ultimate Hachnosas Orchim. And not only that, but this incident shows us that the Iker of Chesed is not so much what the other people receive, but it's what you're giving. Because in this incident of Chesed of Avraham, the Malachim received nothing. They didn't need anything. They didn't need his Hachnosas Orchim. They didn't need his food. But Avraham Avinu was able to give of himself. Right? It's the main measure of Chesed is not what the other person receives. It's how much you give of yourself. And we'll see in one second. Therefore, sometimes Chesed and giving is when you're taking, when you're receiving, and when you're not giving out. But that we'll get to in a little while.
You get satisfaction?
Huh?
You get satisfaction?
Not so much satisfaction. That you really feel that you want to do something for someone else and not only think about yourself. And that in itself is a tremendous midah because you're being like the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're not being a person who's only concerned about himself. They say that what's the difference between a mirror and a window? Through a window you see the entire world, and through a mirror only you see yourself. What's the difference between them? If you put a little kesef on the glass, it becomes a mirror and doesn't become a window anymore. Kesef means money, but kesef also means desires, kisufim. And that's why money is called kesef, because it's something very desirable. If you only consider your own desires, what I want, right, that's being a taker. I want to satisfy myself. Then all you see is yourself. If you're able to see beyond yourself and think about other people and not about yourself, then you can see the whole world. Then you take that kesef off the glass and you can see the whole world. And therefore, emuna and chesed are connected very much to each other. Because only a person who can negate himself and not only be concerned about himself can come to see the Ribbono Shel Olam. God is pretty evident in the world. All you have to do is look around and see an orderly, complex world that most probably didn't come here by accident. They came here with an intelligent creator. So why are there so many people who don't believe in God? Because they don't want to believe. Because it upsets their needs and their desires. Because if you believe in God, you believe that He designed the world, then you are bound to His design. And then there is a purpose to the world, and you have to find out what that purpose is. And then there's right and wrong. But if the world is just the result of a big accident, there's no designer, there's no rhyme or reason, just a big accident, then there can't be any right and wrong in this world, because everything's an accident. There can't be anything wrong with stepping on an ant that just evolved accidentally. It's an accident. What purpose could there be? And therefore, there can't be anything wrong with stepping on your aunt from Chicago either, because she's a bigger accident. So there can't be anything moral, right or wrong in this world, except situational ethics. Now, don't step on my toes, and I won't step on your toes. But there's nothing wrong about stepping on toes, because toes are just an evolutional accident. So people don't want to be relegated. They don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to feel that they have to fit into a plan of a creator. So they'd rather not believe in God and be Hefker. So only a person who can be objective, who can go beyond his own feelings, can really see and feel the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's why there's a medrash that says, whoever does chesed is as if he believes in all the miracles Hashem did when we went out of Mitzrayim. And whoever doesn't do chesed is as if he doesn't believe. Because real belief depends on a person freeing themselves of their own personal bias, subjectivity, and desires, and being able to be objective. And only a person who can give and not only be concerned about himself can be that kind of objective person. And therefore, chesed really has to be for the sake of the other person, not for my sake. You can sometimes be a giver, and really you're not a giver, you're a taker. The question in the beginning of the Sedra, the Torah again uses this example of Avram's chesed to give us the example of chesed. Why? L'chaor, Avram Avinu didn't do great chesed over here. He invited people to his home, right? And he puts them under a tree and feeds them there. I don't know, if I invited people to my home and I had a beautiful house, air conditioned, it wasn't even that hot because it was either in the autumn or the spring when this happened, either in Nisan or in Tishrei, not a hot time in the year in Eretz Yisrael. And Avraham Avinu had a very airy house open on all four sides, probably a beautiful house.
Hashem made it really hot.
Right, what?
Hashem made it really hot that day.
So what?
Hashem made it really hot that day.
Yeah. So, but he made it hot for him.
Right.
But not necessarily for other people. So even if it was hot, right? If when you have a hot, when you bring people home and it's hot, you send them outside to eat, or you bring them into your house and you have an air conditioned house, or you open the windows. You don't sit them outside. Right? You want a picnic is one thing, but you want to invite guests to your house. Right? If I would invite guests to my house and leave them outside, my wife would have my head. Bring them inside. Be a nice host. So why did Avraham Avinu do that? So I think the reason is like this. Avraham Avinu saw these three people and they were in a rush. At least they said they were in a rush. They appeared to be in a rush. When you invite somebody to your house, when they're in a rush, it only upsets them because they don't want to say no. On the other hand, as soon as they enter your house, they feel like they're a prisoner because they're in a rush to get somewhere. They have to make a plane. They have an appointment and they're in your house now and they can't just pick up and walk out of your house. So they're looking at their watch all the time, right, and feel like a prisoner in your house. So Avraham Avinu said to them, look, I want to give you what you need. I think you're in a rush. If you're really in a rush, I'm not going to even bring you in my house. Eat under the tree, eat fast and run. And you don't have to leave my house and feel uncomfortable. Just pick up and walk away. And therefore he served them milchiks and fleishiks. What did he say? He said, if you're really in a rush, here's the tree, sit, there's milk, butter, ready-made, eat and run. You're not really in a rush, you just said that to make me feel good because you didn't want to bother me, but you're really not in a rush. There's a fleishik of meal being made, it takes time to make steaks and make a barbecue. So stick around, and there's fleishiks also. Now, if you're not really in a rush, he made the chesed fit the needs of the people he was giving the chesed and not his own needs. If Avraham Avinu wanted to feel that he wanted to be a very good host, so he would have fed them who knows what and made them wait a long time to come into his house, but he knew that's not what they needed. I'll give you an example that maybe you can relate to. You go to visit someone who's sick. Okay, you spend money, time, right? You want to do this tremendous mitzvah of bikur cholim. When you get to the hospital, you find the person that you are visiting is asleep. Now, people who are sick have a hard time sleeping, and usually they need to sleep. One of the hardest things to do in a hospital probably is to sleep. My wife used to tell me that every time she went to give birth and she'd want to go to sleep, they'd wake her up to take sleeping pills. So she never could go to sleep. So somebody's asleep, probably that's the best thing for them. Sometimes not. Sometimes they really want company or whatever and they'd rather not sleep. But most of the time, not like that. But you want your mitzvah. And if these people are sleeping, what kind of mitzvah are you going to get? So if you're very refined, you send the nurse in to see if they're really asleep, meaning, I'm here, please wake them up. If you're not so refined, you walk into the room, knock over a chair, knock over a table, the person wakes up and you say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to wake you. But you did mean to wake them, because you want your mitzvah, bikur cholim. In that situation, who appears to be the giver? The person's coming to visit the sick person's giving them a visit, giving them a chesed. But who's really the giver? The sick person. They're giving you the mitzvah of bikur cholim, and you're manipulating them and using them to get your mitzvah, because you're not doing what's good for them, you're doing what's good for you. So Avraham Avinu was a real Baal Chesed. That's what the Torah wants to tell us. He made the Chesed tailor-made to the people and their needs. They're in a rush. You don't bring them into your house. You want to be a good host, you bring them into the house. Many times I travel, it doesn't happen now, but years ago it did, when I used to stay by people I didn't know and didn't know me that well, and come in after a 11 hour plane trip, and the only thing I want to know is where's the nearest bed. But the people who are my hosts want to be good hosts. How do you take your guests and send them to bed? So they put out a lavish meal at 10 o'clock at night or whenever I get there. I'm not interested in eating at all, but these people made this meal. I want to show them that at least they have some gratitude. So I sit by the meal, and then what kind of host doesn't spend time talking to his guest? So they sit and talk or whatever. Meanwhile, I'm putting toothpicks in my eyelids to hold them open because my eyes are closing. So if they really wanted to do chesed, they would do what's good for me, not what makes them look like a good host. Not that they're selfish people. They really want to do the chesed. They don't understand that. But a real Baal Chesed is a person who says, I don't want to do this for my sake that I can pat myself on the back and say I was a good host. I want to do it for the needs of the person that I'm doing it for. I don't want to think about myself at all. I want to think about them. That's what Avraham Avinu did. And that's one of the reasons why the Torah used this as the example of Chesed. And it's interesting, when a person negates himself, doesn't think about himself, thinks only about others, what happened from this visitation of the Malachim? The first thing they told him that Yitzchak Avinu was going to be born. When you are mevakel yourself, that only helps to extend yourself, because that's how Avraham Avinu had an extension, had a kiyum for the future, he had a child. And that's what the Malach came. Because of your negating yourself, that's how you build yourself. In the end, that kind of person is the kind of person the Rabbanu Shalom wants to give kiyum to, wants to give a connection to. Also, what came from that? Avraham Avinu had refuah from his bris milah. Also, you negate yourself, we're going to give you something that's going to support yourself. And Sdom is destroyed from these malachim, because Sdom is the antithesis of chesed. There are people who only thought about themselves, who couldn't think about other people and didn't want to give from their things to other people, b'chlau. So from this visitation of the example of chesed in the Torah comes the idea that if you negate yourself, that's the best way to increase yourself. And if you negate yourself, it's the antithesis of what Sodom represents. And in that schus, Lot was saved from Sodom, in the schus of Avram's chesed, which cancelled out the anti-chesed of Sodom. That's why also Avraham Avinu was this tremendous Baal Chesed. It describes Avraham Avinu as going before Hashem, walking before Hashem. Hishalech lefonai veheyei tamim. God tells Avraham by his bris, you walk in front of me and you'll be as perfect as you can be. Noach, on the other hand, walked with Hashem. Esho Elohim, which means Imho Elohim, Hisalech Noach. What's the idea? And therefore, it says there was a big difference between Avram and Noach. Noach did not daven for the people of his generation. And he's blamed for the Mabul because of that. It's called Ne Noach. It's not a great covet to have a Mabul named after you. Right? They name shuls after people, but having hurricanes or Mabuls named after you is not a great covet. Ne Noach. But Avram Avinu davened even for the people of Sodom. Why was Avraham Avinu able to daven for others and Noach not? So the Sfarno says, what does it mean, Hisalech lefonai behayei samim, walk in front of me? He says, walk in front of me and turn around and look at me. And see what my midos are, and you copy my midos. So Avraham walking in front of Hashem means, don't think about yourself. Think about me and how you can emulate being like me. And the major way of being like Hashem is to be a giver, not a taker. So Avraham Avinu was the kind of person who didn't think about himself, who only concentrated on trying to be like Hashem, and the major mitzvah of Hashem is be a giver, don't be a taker. That kind of person can daven even for Rishayim. Because when you daven for evil people, you have to have a connection to them. And if you're going to take from them, you're going to take bad influence. And that's a very dangerous thing. Noach, on the other hand, used Hashem as a support. His main concern was him. I need God to support me. So when you're a little bit of a taker, you're concerned about yourself. If you daven with people for people who are Rishoyim and you have to connect to them, you may be taking influence from them. So Noach felt he couldn't daven for them because davening for them would give him a connection, and that connection could be very dangerous. Avraham Avinu, on the other hand, was a total giver. He's not going to receive anything from these people, even the negative influence, he can daven for them. And that's why from the mitzvah of chesed that Avraham did by the malachim, and he put him under a tree, the Medrash says, from that we got the mitzvah of sukkah. What's the connection? Like we explained. Avraham Avinu tailor-made his chesed to the needs of the guests, not to his needs of being a good host. He would have looked like a better host had he brought them in the house. But that's not what they needed. They needed to be under a tree so they could leave immediately because they were in a rush. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us a favor, the same thing. They were anonei akavod. Hashem gave us protection, spiritual protection. We didn't need a regular sukkah. But the Maisa, we're human beings, and if you don't see a roof and walls, you don't feel protected. So God tailor-made his chesed to fit our needs, not just what he wanted to do. So he gave us the anonei akavod, but he also gave us a regular sukkah that we could see walls and tzchach and feel comfortable, according to our need. What?
I understand. How is it explained to me?
When Avraham Avinu, we understand that he did the chesed tailor-made to the needs of the people, not what would make him look better. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have just sufficed by giving us anonei akavod, the spiritual protection. And we didn't need a regular sukkah. But the Rebbeinu Shlom said, you're human beings, and you don't feel comfortable in a spiritual, what's it called, protective covering when you can't see walls and you can't see a roof. So I'm not only going to give you anonei akavod, I'm going to give you regular sukkahs too, so you can feel right. So you can feel right. That was the mitzvah of sukkah, the physical sukkah. Okay, that's why we explained already that chesed and emunah go together. Okay, now there's one more point, and that is, if this is true, that chesed is predicated on the idea that you should be a giver and not a taker, and everybody should try to be givers. There's one big problem with that, if you really put it into practice. If everybody are givers, who are they giving to? There's no takers. So there has to be at least one symbolic taker for other people to be givers. So somebody has to take. First question. Second question is, let's look at Avraham Avinu. Okay, here's a case. Avraham Avinu, like we explained, gave, didn't take. The classical example where Avraham Avinu is a giver and not a taker is by Melech Sodom. Melech Sodom offers Avraham Avinu to keep all the spoils of the war. Just give me back my people. And what does Avraham Avinu say? In michut v'yatzrochdal, I won't take a shoelace from you. You keep everything. I don't take. Very nice. But you know, Avraham Avinu, in three other instances, in last week's Shedra and this week's Shedra, took very nicely. Paro gives Avraham Avinu, not shoelaces, he gives him cattle and money, right? And Avraham Avinu takes it, no problem. I thought Avraham Avinu is a giver, not a taker. Avimelech, in this week's Shedra, gives Avraham and Sarah presents, and he takes them. Doesn't say, I don't take, I'm just a giver. And in last week's Shedra, Malkitzedek, according to some opinions, Malkitzedek gives Meisher to Avraham, and Avraham takes it. So three instances Avraham takes, and only one he doesn't. I don't think that's a giver. Three out of four cases he's taking, only one case he was not taking. So why is Avraham Avinu this great Baal Chesed who doesn't take, when I showed you three instances where he took very nicely? Huh? Well, you're on the right track. Taking and giving does not mean who is receiving and who is putting the thing out. You can sometimes receive and be a giver. And sometimes you can give and you're really the taker. We already explained how you can give and really be a taker in the case of the Bikur Cholim. Right? You look like you're giving that person a visit, chesed, but you're really taking from that person because you're manipulating them and using them to get your mitzvah, because you're not doing what's good for them, you're doing what's good for you. So you look like a giver, but you're really a taker. How about the other way? Where can you look like a giver, look like a taker, but you're really a giver? So I'll give you three examples, and they explain the three cases that I told you about Avraham Avinu. First case, where you are taking, but you're really giving. When you take in order to give, person doesn't have the wherewithal to give people. So he has to take what's coming to him. For instance, you have a job, and you earn money, it's coming to you. Your boss owes you that money. Right? You work for him. Now, if you say, well, I don't want to be a taker, I'm not going to ever take my salary, right? That looks very nice, but it's ridiculous. Because if you don't take your salary, you won't be able to pay your bills, you won't be able to support your family, you won't be able to give tzedakah, so you're really taking that money that's coming to you. We're not talking about Robin Hood, who steals in order to give. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about taking what's coming to you. That I need that to be able to give. I need that to support my family. I need that to pay my debts. I need that to be able to do tzedakah. So I'm taking, my purpose in taking is to be able to give. Because if I don't take anything that's coming to me, I won't be able to give anything. When I was a teenager, about your age, maybe probably younger than you, I had a chance to observe the Satmar Rebbe, the old Satmar Rebbe. He used to spend his winters in Miami for health reasons. By a Bala boss there. And I went to see, in Miami, you didn't see too many Hasidic Rebbes at that time. So I went to see this Rebbe. And I noticed he wore a big robe with two gigantic pockets in the front, and they were filled with $100 bills. Not dollar bills, packed with $100 bills. What happened? People come, they want brachas, they want to give him kvitlach, and they give him money, and he had rich Hasidim. So they didn't give him a dollar, they gave him hundreds of dollars. And he stuffed it in his pockets, and he wore this robe full of money. I remember thinking to myself, when I grow up, I'm going to be a Rebbe. This looks like a great job. And then I saw people would come to him and cry out their heart, they have this problem, that problem. He'd put his hand into his pocket, take a wad of bills, not even look what it was, and hand it to the person until his pockets were empty. Then other people would come for brachas, and he'd fill up his pockets again. And then people would come with tzaras, and he'd empty the pockets. Could you tell me the Satmar Rebbe was a taker? No. He was a clearinghouse. He took in order to be able to give. He didn't have his own things to give. People gave him. They wanted to give him. So he took, but he didn't take for himself, he took to give. You know, one of the symbols of chesed is the heart. A good heart, a lev tov, is a symbol of a bal chesed. Why? Because the heart gives blood to the whole body. It's a giver. But if you studied biology, you know that the heart takes in blood from the whole body too. The heart takes in as much blood as it gives out. So why is the heart a giver and not a taker? The answer is very simple. The blood the heart takes in from the body is not for the sake of the heart. It's in order to send it to the lungs to get oxygen, and then it comes back to the heart and the heart pumps it to the rest of the body. So when the heart takes blood from the whole body, he's not taking it for itself. The blood supply of the heart is in the veins and arteries on the outside of the heart. The blood the heart takes in is in order to send it to the lungs and then send it to the body. So the heart takes, but it only takes in order to give. That's called giving. Taking in order to give. And that was the example of Avram taking from Paro. Avram had nothing. He came to Eretz Yisrael. Now he left his father's house. There was a famine. He spent everything he had. He had students to take care of. He had a wife to take care of. He spent time in hotels going down to Mitzrayim. He couldn't pay the bill. Now Paro does something terrible and wants to compensate for it. So he gives Avram what's coming to him. Avram could say, no, I don't take. But if you don't take, where are you going to pay your bills? Where are you going to pay the hotel bills that you racked up? How are you going to support your family? Paro wants to give you this, and he owes it to you. So Avram took it, because if he takes it, he has what to give. So that's not a case of taking. Avram's receiving, but he's not a taker. He's receiving in order to give. That's called giving. That's one example. Second example, where receiving is not taking, it's giving. Where you do it for the honor of the other person. When I was a young rabbi, a few years ago, in my first job, so I decided that I'm not going to take presents from anybody. People like to give their rav a present. Purim, Hanukkah, they go to Eretz Yisrael and visit, they bring back a present for the rabbi. I'm not going to take any presents. Sonei matanos yichye. It's not good to take presents. I don't want people to feel that I'm dependent on them. I get my salary and that is it. I'm not taking any presents. And this went on for a few months until one day one of the elderly members of my kehillah came to me and said, Rabbi, I want to speak to you, and I hope you'll forgive me if I'm blunt, but I want to tell you something that I don't think you realize. He said, you think you're a big tzaddik, but you don't accept presents from people. But you're insulting these people by not accepting their presents. They want the honor of the rabbi accepting their present. And when you tell them, I don't accept presents, you're insulting them. You don't want to use the presents, your business. Take it from them. Give them that honor. He didn't have to convince me. From then on, I take presents. But it's true. Sometimes people want the covet of giving someone a present. There's a halacha like that. In order to affect a marriage, a man has to give the woman something of value. That's the only way you can make a marriage. A man gives a woman something of value. Today we give a ring, that's a custom. But you give her a bottle of Coke too. Right? And say Harayat Mekudeshesli in front of witnesses, she's married. Doesn't have to be a ring. Could be anything. That's why it's very important when you're single not to play around and, you know, sometimes, what's it called, the boy gives a girl something and there's boys around that are over bar mitzvah or kosher witnesses, and he says as a joke, Harayat Mekudeshesli, it's a very big joke, but she's married. And if she wants to marry anybody else, she needs a divorce from that. And if she gets divorced, she can't marry a Kohen anymore. So it's not a joke. I remember years and years ago, these people are probably grandparents or great-grandparents already, but in Baltimore there was a situation where there was a Purim carnival or something, and a boy, as a joke, gave a girl a bottle of soda and said, Hariyat Mekudeshesli, and there were people standing around. The end, she needed to get. So she got married, yeah, and not to a Kohen. Right? She's a great grandmother now, I think. The yeah. So it is. What? No. So I mean, it has to be a boy who gives a girl something of value and says her abukadeshously in front of witnesses.
She doesn't agree, so.
No, she doesn't agree, right? But if she doesn't,
she took the
bottle of soda, didn't say anything. That's a problem. If she took the soda and threw it back in his face, no problem. In any case, that's the halacha. The only way you can affect a marriage is for a man to give a woman something of value and say harayat mukadeshesli. Then she's married,
so
in front of witnesses.
Nowadays, ignores the ring. Like, it could be anything?
Could be anything.
But how come everyone knows a ring?
Well, because we have a minhag to have a ring. So this way a woman, if you see a ring on a woman's finger, you know she's married. And the woman knows all the time, she remembers her marriage by looking at her marriage ring and her wedding ring. Right. However, why am I telling you this? Because there is a case where a woman can give a man something and the marriage could be a marriage. What's it called? An Adam Chashuv. A very important person. President. King. And he doesn't take presents from everybody. And people vie to give presents to the president, to the king. It's their covet. The president took a present from me. And they'd spend money on doing that. They'd pay somebody, one of the president's advisors, I'm giving you money, you convince the president to take my present. So it's worth money. So a woman gives a man like that a present. And he says, you know what, I'll take your present. But by taking your present, I'm giving you covet. And I'm giving you something that's worth money. Because you would have spent money to have somebody convince me to take your present. With that money, right, that I'm giving you by taking your present, I'm the Kaddish you. It's a good Kiddush. Even though she's giving him. But basically, she's getting the covet of him accepting the present. That's worth money. He can make Kaddish her with that. So you see that sometimes receiving a present from somebody is actually giving them covet. So therefore, Avraham Avinu accepted presents from Abimelech in this week's Shedra for that purpose. He didn't take it because he wanted to take from Abimelech. But Abimelech did something, took Sarah, was very, very embarrassed, and he wanted to cover up his embarrassment. So he wanted to show that Avraham doesn't have any grudges against him. I'm giving you presents, you can accept them, and that's my covet, that you accepted the presents and covered up my shame. So who was getting over here? Not Avram. Avram was accepting the present to give Avimelech covet. Because if he didn't accept the present, Avimelech would be very insulted and embarrassed. So here's another case where you can take, but you're not a taker. You're giving the other person covet. What?
What was the other situation where he didn't take?
The what? The one was put from Paro, where he took in order to be able to give.
Yeah.
The second one was Avimelech, where he took in order to give covet to the person he was taking from. And the third case is perhaps the most important one. There is called what I call the Jewish mother-wife syndrome. Jewish mothers and Jewish wives most of the time like to be martyrs. In other words, they don't like to take anything for themselves. They like to sacrifice everything for their husbands and their children. That's usually what a Jewish mother and wife is like. Right? In other words, you have a husband, wife, and little child sitting at the table to eat, and they bring enough food for an army. And the mother says, no, give it to my son. I don't want to eat. I can't eat. Let my child eat. Your child's not starving. If you eat 10 portions, the child will still have 20 portions to eat. But that's the nature of a Jewish mother and Jewish wife. You're familiar with that?
Yes.
Right, so they don't, not me. Right, give it to my child. Give it to my husband. I don't want anything for myself. That seems to be very nice, but it's not. I'll tell you why. In every relationship, there's times that this one gives and this one has to take, and the opposite. But when you have a person in a relationship who never wants to take, only wants to give, then they're making it that the other person in the relationship can never give. Can only take. So it's very nice that you don't want to take anything, but you're preventing your partner, your spouse, your child from ever giving. They always have to be takers. That's very demeaning.
But you're from a good place.
100%. But sometimes you have to take in order to enable somebody else to be a giver. That's also chesed. So Avraham Avinu took from Malki Tzedek, according to that opinion. Malki Tzedek had meiser. He wanted to give it to a kohen. There was no other kohanim in the world except Avraham Avinu. If Avraham Avinu didn't take, he wouldn't afford a Malki Tzedek the ability to give. So he took from Malki Tzedek to enable him to be a giver. That's also a chesed. That's also giving. I'm giving you the opportunity to feel good that you can give. Because if I don't take, you can't be a giver. So whether you receive or not is not the determination whether you're a giver or a taker. Because sometimes you can be receiving, but you're really the giving. And sometimes you can be giving, and you're really the receiver, you're really taking. So therefore, the Torah gives us all these examples of the chesed of Avraham to really understand what real chesed is. Real chesed is not thinking about yourself, but thinking about others. And doing what's best for others and not what's best for yourself. And that is doing really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did by creating the world. He made a place for others and didn't think about himself, pulled himself away to make a place for others. And that is example. The example of that is Hachnasas Orchim. I take my place and make place for somebody else there. That's exactly what Hashem did when he created the world. That's being the most like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the idea of chesed. Any questions?